This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
And this is 7-5 Radio. I'm Peter Scoop Stanton with the Walter Yerkew. Walt, how are we doing this fine day?
Oh, pretty well, my man, pretty well. Kind of dreary down here, but hey, I'm above ground. How about you?
Yep, it's cold and crappy and in the DMV, which is also known as the District, Maryland and Virginia. But I'm still surviving. My kids are in school, thankfully, first time this week almost. But anyways, let's get down to brass tacks. First, we want to remember Sergeant Watasha Carter of the Birmingham, Alabama Police Department, end of watch January 13th, 2019. His killers are in custody. And also, Police Officer Natalie Corona of the Davis, California Police Department, end of watch January 10th, 2019. Fortunately for us, her killer committed suicide, so we don't have to provide him three hots and a cot, a long, lengthy trial, and he's in the ground doing whatever he's doing. But anyways, Walt, we got, as you probably know, we got a government shutdown going on. Depending when you listen to the 7-5 radio, it's probably on day 30th. And the news now this week is 800,000 government employees are not getting paid. 800,000. That is the population of Washington, D.C. and Buffalo, New York combined. Now, you and I both know this is the reason why we're $19 trillion in debt. With 800,000 people on the payroll, that's not including Congress, they're still getting paid. Every problem in this country should have been solved. Roads and bridges, airports, seaports should have been fixed. Borders should have been tighter than you know what. Going to the Veterans Administration hospital should be like an assembly line in Amazon, because if you like Amazon or don't like Amazon, they know how to get things done. Amtrak should be faster than train travel. The TSA at the airport should have officers that are professional, highly trained, and efficient. The drugs pouring over the border would have been seized and shipped in tractor trailers for destruction on a daily basis. All the call centers that are looking to rip you and me off impersonating the IRS, Social Security, or selling bogus home alarms, health plans would have been put out of business in a week. Wall Street's and the banks would have been much better regulated. A military would be the most deadliest in the world has ever known. Our space program would have seen technologies better than what we saw on Star Wars and Star Trek. Our postal system would have rivaled UPS and Federal Express. And Social Security would not only be stable, but we could retire it on a loan. But instead, for these 800,000 people, we are nothing but paper pushers, pushing rules on us that serve no purpose but for that agency and themselves, choking all entrepreneurial spirit from the people who want to make a difference. We also have bureaucrats who look down on the people who they serve and who serve the labor union first, not the government. And a funny thing about the these labor unions, these government labor unions, right now there's more public sector labor unions than private sector labor unions. But guess what? These people are working for their labor unions, and they're not getting paid. People in labor unions, remember this. You pay them. They don't pay you. So all those people saying, I'm a member of whatever pencil-pushing bureaucratic labor union, you're not getting paid. And also, the union's not getting paid. But you know what? I consider that karma, because the union, they push a far-left agenda. They support people like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. But anyways, on top of that, with 800,000 employees, we have crumbling highways, bridges, tunnels, and mass transit system. The Veterans Administration has the compassion efficiency as your local Department of Motor Vehicles office. Then you have fat, smelly, perverted slobs that have all the desire to go in law enforcement but meets none of the standards. They can grope you to board a flight, and they're searching you even though you have committed no crime, so they have zero probable cause. Also, we have a national rail system that has trains that do travel over 100 miles an hour, but yet have to slow down to 35 miles an hour going through certain tunnels that have been built in the Civil War era. And on top of that, this train system costs us $1 billion a year. And Social Security is going broke quickly. Very poor as borders. A space program that we have to put astronauts on other space flights, costing us about $20 million per passenger. Postal system that's been run into the ground, that's been as efficient as the telephone telegraph system. We have a revenue collection agency where you have the burden of proof, not the government, to prove that you are right. And we have overlapping agencies like the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Food and Drug Administration to inspect your food. Also, we have people working at the U.S. Department of Agriculture that never been on a farm in their life. Well, Walt, what's your take on all this? All these people just doing a whole bunch of nothing, getting paid and making our lives more miserable.
Well, you know, getting paid and not doing nothing, that's pretty much on the cusp of the American dream these days. You know, half the freaking country is on some type of welfare or, you know, some type of free ticket anyway. So, you know, the other 49-50%, which is becoming a minority very quickly, is working real hard for their dollars and cents. You know, I agree with what you say, not just because you're my partner on the air, but I do, because the 800,000 people that are so-called government employees or receive government paychecks is, you know, I hear some stories that February 1st is coming up in I don't know, a week or two. And it's inevitable. First of the month comes up every month. Are these people that are not collecting a paycheck? Oh by the way, Mr. Trump signed into some kind of a bill yesterday guaranteeing that when this shutdown is over that they get all their back pay. That probably would have happened without a signature. But they have been complaining. Some have been reporting, complaining, whatever you want to call it, that they're not going to be able to pay their household bills come the first of the month. Now, my question is, why the hell not? Do they live above their means? Do they drive that new Mercedes that's on lease that they can't afford? That part I don't get. And you didn't touch on this, but, you know, I'm middle class, always have been. Probably, you know, people would say I'm low class, but, you know, I consider myself on the lower end of middle class. How about that? And, you know, the way I've planned my financial future is that if I have to stop working today, I could probably go about 4 years without having to worry about paying my mortgage. And I make far less than these characters here, both, you know, red and blue.
All right, well, we'll talk about the shutdown on the other side of the break. This is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network. Take us away, Dwayne Allman.
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie. Lie, lie, and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals. I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press
has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they're, you know, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. All right, we're back on 7-5 Radio. We are in the third-plus week of the government shutdown. And now with the government shutdown, Nancy Pelosi is talking about canceling the State of the Union address. Why? Because security concerns. Supposedly, the Department of Homeland Security has not gotten paid for almost a month. And Ms. Pelosi cited a national special security event. Well, I hate to tell you, in Washington, D.C., there's always a major security event going on. Visiting dignitaries, presidential travel in around town, inaugurations, inaugural balls, joint sessions of Congress for whatever reason. She cited national security for the she wants security, tight security, heavy security for the insiders in Washington, D.C., preferably at the chambers of the House. But she wants nothing for the rest of America. It would be crying for a wall. Well, what say you about Nancy, what needs security for the State of the Union address?
Well, let's start with the wall. Let's build up a wall, and we won't have to worry about State of the Union addresses now or in the future. The Secret Service is there. There's no worry in my backyard about having this State of the Union secure. It's just as secure as it ever was. There's nobody's going to get near Mr. Trump in the White House. He can hire his own armed forces if he wants, and he'll be just fine. She's just throwing that stuff out because of this, what did she call the wall? Immoral. Her immoral views on the wall and our security. We got these people on the left worrying about, well, now saying that, we shouldn't have it until we're secure. Well, that's the whole point of the freaking State of the Union address. They're going to talk about our security and the issues that are going on with these 800,000, furloughed employees. Part of the people that I worry about is the people that actually defend our country, like the armed services and our police departments that have some type of government funding to help them along, because, you know, you get what you pay for. You know, if you're going to pay $6 an hour or $7 an hour for a police officer, you're going to get a police officer that's only worth $6 or $7 an hour. So, you know, you got to draw the line somewhere, make sure that stays in check. But Ms. Pelosi is just, you know, trying to scream underwater. nobody's listening. She thinks everybody's listening. Her and Chuckles are just, you know, the mold has been broken. Because, you know, even God doesn't want two more people on the planet like them anymore. So, you know, it's just not frustrating. You know, you got to rub your head to the point where you start losing your hair over the nonsense that they spew out, you know, day in and day out. There she was in Hawaii, what, last week, week before, you know, right. And I'm sure she's on an expense. She has an expense ticket that she can spend so much. You know, the other people down there in Puerto Rico that are on the beaches in San Juan and such, you know, hey, I guess Puerto Rico's doing pretty good after all. Otherwise, they wouldn't be down there. They were crying about Puerto Rico not being taken care of after all those hurricanes that went through last year. I guess PR is doing just fine. So I don't want to hear nothing more about Puerto Rico or from the mega down there.
Funny you should mention Puerto Rico. That was going to be my next thing. Last week, 30 Democrat lawmakers flew down on a charter plane with over 100 lobbyists to watch the anti-American play Hamilton, which we spoke about, at a function called the Congressional Hispanic Congress Bold Pack. I don't know what Bold Pack stands for, but the BS story was to see the damage and recovery efforts of Hurricane Maria. And now the Congressional Hispanic Caucus and the lobbyists, and I'm sure the cast of Hamilton, stayed at a seaside resort. Now, no word who paid for all this, but anyways, I've been to Puerto Rico. You got it's a small island. You have sections of Old San Juan where they have the castle, and it's just an absolute hellhole. It looks like East New York back in the day. Then you have New San Juan, where you have very tall luxury resorts, you have timeshares, you have a whole bunch of nice, beautiful buildings. And guess what? They built them up so they're hurricane-proof. So all these members of Congress and the lobbyists stayed at these hurricane-proof resorts, had these lavish parties, and for a very large donation, you could go down to Puerto Rico and spend time with these folks and watch Hamilton. And there's a picture of Bob Menendez talking to a lady, probably sexually harassing her. We won't get into that again. This is all going on. And on top of that, Jimmy Fallon and The Tonight Show flew down to Puerto Rico and did a show from Puerto Rico, like celebrating this. I mean, it's in your face. And that's why I don't watch regular television anymore, except very few shows. And it's hard for me to watch Fox. But my question is, who paid for all this? And why are they down there when you got people that live in the metropolitan Washington, D.C. area, live in paycheck to paycheck, who work for the federal government? They can't pay their mortgage this month. They can't pay for the car note. They can't pay, you know, it's hard for them to put food on the table. I'm sure their visa bills are just going through the roof. But people like Bob Menendez and a whole bunch of other people going down to Puerto Rico on somebody else's dime to look at recovery efforts on a nice sandy beach in Old San Juan, Puerto Rico. Meanwhile, they're still receiving a paycheck. That's right. They are still receiving a paycheck because, again, there's rules for Congress and rules for everybody else. They got the best health care we can buy them. They get the nicest salary for the work they don't do. And they spend their free time leaving their districts to go hustle for more campaign contributions. There's only a very few select number of members of Congress who notified payroll that they wish not to be paid, or they want their money going, the paychecks going to charitable organizations. Senator Elizabeth Warren, she wants her paychecks going to some refugee group, but I can guarantee that no refugees will be living near her neck of the woods in either Washington or in Massachusetts. Anything else you want to add about that, Walt?
Well, you know, I did some arithmetic here, and there are 800,000 government employees, okay, that collect a paycheck, actually a government paycheck. There is, you know, about 4 million square miles in this beloved United States that I live in. That comes out to 5 per square mile, 5 government employees per square mile. in this country. Holy, you know what? Do we need that many people in the government? I guess getting a list might be a little bit difficult as to what their titles are and their duties are and such. But it's just so many career politicians. I could see working for the government for 20 years. I could see it. Okay, it's like working for the police department or the sanitation department. And I think the sanitation department would be more appropriate as a government business. But I just can't see where these people go, five per square mile, to go to work. You know, down here they probably either go to Nashville or to Chattanooga, probably Nashville because it's the state capital. But what do they do? Well, exactly what do they do? They got a commissioner of this, a commissioner of that. Right now, there's just too many. Maybe we ought to look at how many people that are in the government and the nonsense BS titles that people have just to work with the government to have a job. Maybe we need to get rid of that. Like you said earlier, the trillion-dollar bill that the government pays these employees is way too high. The bridges are falling apart. The roads are falling apart. We're going through tunnels that were built in the Civil War, like you said. The rail system is falling apart. It just needs the infrastructure redone. And maybe this is part of Mr. Trump's plan.
God, I hope so. Anyways, we'll talk about Trump feeding some football players. And Gillette stepped into it. This is 7-5 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network. Take us away, Jim.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Isn't this great? Just the two of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone, no TV. Finally, we have a chance to just talk. I mean, how long has it been? Well, first of all, we should talk about your schedule. There are a few things that could use some adjusting, but overall, I think it's going all right. Basically, I think we're doing a pretty good job of communicating, which is good. You're doing a really good job of letting me know how you feel about things. I want to keep the lines open, if you know what I mean.
Jerry? It's 4:00 in the morning. What are you doing?
Oh, I was just giving Emily a bottle.
Who are you talking to?
Emily.
She's only 3 weeks old, and she's asleep.
I know. I was just practicing.
Family, isn't it about time?
Isn't this great? Just the three of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only 7 countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the 9th month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
you're still listening, here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we're back with 7-5 Radio. Well, do you like fast food?
Oh, man, you know, yeah, I do. I don't overindulge, you know, but I'm smart with fast food, if that makes sense. If that makes sense. Right. I don't get the fries. Yeah. It keeps the carbs down, but I know where you're going with this, so forge ahead.
Take it away. Okay, well, anyways, we had the Clemson Tigers football team won the national championship. They beat the brakes off of Alabama. So, of course, since they are a national championship team, they got an invite to the White House to meet the commander-in-chief. So, anyways, due to the government shutdown, there's no money to pay the cooks or to buy food or things like that, but I'm sure the commander-in-chief is able to feed himself and gain sustenance. So the football team was invited to come to the White House and to have some chow with the president. Now, the problem is they have no food. They can't pay the cooks because there's no money in the budget. So what does Donald Trump do? He goes out and out of his own pocket buys thousands of dollars of hamburgers, pizza, salads, and to feed the football team out of his own pocket. And he was criticized for it like no tomorrow. Oh, what are you doing feeding these kids fast food? Oh, you got no class, you got nothing. Oh, you're a piece of work. But anyways, not only does the president enjoy a good fast food hamburger, so did the football team. The TMZ Sports was able to catch a glimpse of the star quarterback from Clemson. I forgot the young man's name. But he said he enjoyed himself and enjoyed the hamburgers at the White House. And then the rest of the team came out to the buses waiting outside the White House, and none of them had a bad word to say about President Trump. Myself, being a younger man, I would rather enjoy a hamburger or a slice of pizza than some of the food that the White House state dinner serve, because it just does not sound appetizing whatsoever. Well, what say you about the White House becoming a burger joint?
Absolutely fabulous. You know, when I saw that, I had myself a Big Mac attack, and I had to run down to McDonald's, and I had to get 2 for $5. I hope Mr. Trump got him 2 for $5. I saw the spread, and I think it was awesome. I do. The players were smiling. They weren't laughing. Well, they were having fun laughing. You know, they weren't laughing at the food. They were enjoying themselves. And Mr. Trump was standing right there, and he was putting hamburgers on the guy's plates. And, you know, I think it was just absolutely unprecedented.
So, let's back up a second. You're telling me that the President of the United States was serving food to the football players?
Yeah, he was standing on the other side of the table, and he was picking them up and handing them to the players and putting them on their plates. The man, you know,
wow.
The man is a down to earth man. I mean, you know, he's as rich as he is, and as many gold spoons as he's had in his mouth all his life. When it comes down to it, the guy is from a neighborhood in Queens, you know, and although he's been sheltered, he's always kept his eye open. That's how he's made money. He's got to understand the cultures. Now, I'd rather have if Mr. Trump ever invited me to the White House, I'd say I'm putting my order in for my Big Mac. I don't want to sit at a $200 a plate meal with some chives covered with chocolate sauce for an appetizer and then some kind of little rinky-dinky kind of steak. That's not me, man. That's not me. I don't drink out of crystal. I don't eat off of china. Give me a burger in a box, and I'm just fine. And the place right. Was just fine, too. You had this, and I'm going to say his name. He was a decent football player, but not all that good. Reggie Bush. He said it was insulting that he served, that Mr. Trump served Big Macs and stuff like that. Now, you know, why is Reggie Bush getting in the middle of this? Is he going to, you know, does he not like McDonald's? Is he against McDonald's? Mr. Trump put thousands of dollars, like you said, back into the neighborhood there in Washington. And it'll go down in history as one of the most unique meals ever served at the White House. And I think it was appreciated by more than 75 or 80% of the country. And the other ones that raised their eyebrows, who gives a damn?
Right. They're the ones that live inside Interstate 495, which is commonly known as the Beltway, or they live on Manhattan Island, or they live in San Francisco or Los Angeles. But just to be able to just to meet the president, I mean, after winning the national championship in football and meeting the president of the United States, and he's serving you out of his own pocket. I mean, that's amazing. But anyways, I mean, the president can cure cancer and AIDS tomorrow, and the media would still find something wrong with him. Well, they'll say, well, why didn't it cure it yesterday? But anyways, let's move right along. Walt, you're a man, right?
Well, last time I looked this morning, yeah.
Right. Yeah. You're a man. You need to shave. I'm a man. I need to shave. But I will be no longer purchasing Gillette. Or correction, I have not purchased Gillette razor blades for a while. Why? Because they're just too gosh darn expensive. But anyways, recently, Gillette just recently released a commercial on social media that's talking about toxic masculinity, talking about the Me Too movement, talking about being a man that's not involved in sexual harassment or not committing so-called sexual harassment, and it does not sell razors. But it's more or less telling American men, don't be men. And the worst part about this commercial, I noticed that every man or every boy that was doing something wrong, like whistling at a girl or talking rude to a girl or beating up another little boy or whatever, was white. It's a commercial. But then there's this little clip of it's supposed to be a television show of a white man grabbing the backside of a woman of color. And there was another scene where a man was going after making cat calls, and a black man stopped in and said, "Hey, man, that ain't cool." So I think Gillette just stepped into it because it's toxic masculinity, so-called. It's, you know what? It's manliness that built this country to keep this country the way it is. It's men that enlist in the military. It's men that put on the uniform as police officers and sheriffs. It's men that go on the skyscrapers, put these skyscrapers together. It's men that built the tunnels for our subways and our sewer lines and our water supply to get from one point to another. And it's the men that keep this country moving. Now, it's people like Gillette and lawyers and a whole bunch of other people who are not as manly that wants to put this country back in the Stone Age. We have lawyers, tons, too many lawyers, tons of laws, tons of just tons of hands around our necks, choking the lifeblood out of men. Walt, you're one of the manliest men I've ever met. What say you about Gillette?
I don't know. You know, you could sit and watch commercials on any product all day long if you don't work. And I've seen a few, because I hardly have the damn television on these days. I've seen a few commercials where I say to myself or my lady friend, who in the hell was stupid enough to think of that? Okay, now in this Gillette thing, first of all, my question stands, who in the hell thought of this? And then who are the other idiots that agreed with him or her with this commercial? You know, it just doesn't make sense. You got a multi-billion-dollar conglomerate that sells razors all over the world to come up with something stupid like this. This is why other countries are laughing at us, because our freedom of everything, you know, unless it's in the penal law, our freedom of everything is gotten to the point where it's so convoluted, it's perverted. And this is just another issue of the perversion that people use of freedom of expression, freedom of speech, you know, freedom of all that stuff. And just because you're free to do and make something like that doesn't mean I want to see it. They should have taken a survey. If 51% of the country doesn't want to see that damn commercial, they shouldn't have aired it. But I do, like you said, you know, there are people that are just not going to buy the left anymore.
Right. My razors are from Dollar Shave Club, which is about 75% cheaper. But anyways, we're coming to the last segment of 7-5 Radio. We got a barn burner show. Stay tuned for the last segment.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Co-Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we're back. Walt, we have two marches going on this week in our nation's capital. Two very different marches. The first march is the March for Life, celebrating the 47th anniversary of the horrendous Roe versus Wade decision from the Supreme Court. You'll have tens of thousands of pro-life marchers marching in the District of Columbia by the Supreme Court, being quiet, being orderly, not making a mess, speaking their mind, and going about their business.
Yeah.
But,
like the caravan went through, that's for sure.
Right. But you also have the march correction, the Women's March on Washington coming on, coming up, or that's already happened, depending when you're going to listen to the show. Expecting hundreds of thousands of the fat, ugly, sloppy, mean-looking pigs. Back in 2017, the day after the Trump inauguration, we had the, I called it the Pig March, because these women come in these little knit hats with supposed to be cat ears. They look like pig ears. And trust me, they look like pigs. So look for large, disorderly, loud, large again, because the participants be large. Talking just absolute trash, probably not fit for FCC broadcast. And also vile anti-Semitism. That'll make the political cesspool look like AIPAC. But that will get coverage all day, every day on C-SPAN. And it'll be praised as a great event in women's history. Now, I'm looking forward to the Women's March so I can get a couple, make a couple coins for Uber, because my take for Uber has been very, very, very low. But anyways, they're having women's marches all over the country, and they canceled one in California because they're afraid that it was going to be too white. And they canceled one in Chicago, Illinois, because one of the speakers there is Linda Sarsour, is very anti-Semitic and praises one Louis Farrakhan, as Rush Limbaugh called him, Calypso Louie, because before he saw found Allah, he was a calypso player in a I don't know what type of band, some sort of band back in way back in the day. Well, they got any women's marches in your neck of the woods?
I don't know. I haven't looked. I just want to say that not all big ladies are going to be marching looking for leftover Big Macs in Washington. You know, some of them are just going to be at home, and rightfully so. But I don't know. Does Mr. Trump have to order more Big Macs? I don't.
There'll be a shortage of Big Macs because they got a. I know they have a place called Five Guys at McPherson Square, which is the closest metro stop near the White House. They're going to be bombarded. But I mean, in January 2017, I was looking forward to the Women's March. Like, hey, you got hundreds of thousands of women coming. And then I saw what came. I was like, oh my God, get me the hell out of here.
Well, you know, they're all who they are. You know, they're expressing their rights, you know, to the First Amendment, you know, freedom of assembly, and they have something on their mind. Unfortunately, most of the people in the country really don't care what they have on their mind. If they just want to wear the pig ears or the cat ears or vagina hats, yeah, whatever they want to wear, you know, go ahead and wear it. You know, be proud of it. I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to cover it. There are more important things that need to be covered. The, you know, the Women's March on the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade. I believe that's, you know, in my opinion, I don't have to like every march, but I believe that's a good march. You know, the right to life is so important these days. As far as United States citizens go, okay, we're not going to go back, start talking about the right to life. If you're illegal, your right to have a life in the United States is a totally different thing. And the left has been trying to swirl it into a manipulation of they have a right to life, too. But we're talking about fetuses is what they're talking about. They're not talking about somebody right. coming across the border with the right to life. So, you know, I want to make sure.
I just thought of something. You know what? The left is all in for Planned Parenthood. They want Planned Parenthood running like a finely tuned Swiss watch, and we need a taxpayer needs to subsidize Planned Parenthood to the T. Meanwhile, if a woman coming from across the border has no right to be here, then the same people will bend over backwards to make sure she does give birth. So it's just a numbers game.
Right.
So I just thought you made a very good point.
So
please continue.
I have my moments. Anyway, this thing with you know with the you know go ahead and march. You know, I would march also if I was in Washington, if there was a cause that I believed in, you know, wholeheartedly. And if they believe in their cause, all right, that's fine. You know, like we said, you know, the local restaurants and are going to be, you know, making some money, you know, making some coin because these people will have to eat anyway. And the hotels also. So, you know, it's beneficial to the area. You know, it's like having a music festival, you know, come to town for the weekend. Same thing. It's just in, you know, different, you know, in a different light. It's all good. I'd like to bring in what I got planned for next week. And I know I discussed this with you a little bit early this week.
Let her rip, sir.
I saw something on TV earlier this week before I went to work, and it was quite disturbing. And unfortunately for me, it shouldn't have been so disturbing. You know, I live here in the South near Nashville, and they had a show on the Latino gangs in Nashville. Now, always in the underlying thing, I always knew that there's gangs like everywhere. And there are gangs, MS-13, of course, made famous by our president. I shouldn't say famous; he's been brought to light. There are also the Sureños, and now this new collective bunch of animals called the Brown Pride. And yeah, my name is Walter Yerkew, and I am calling you out. These are a bunch of Latino kids coming from all Latino countries, you know, below our borders. Taking over the neighborhoods, and the police department, as what I saw, are doing their damnedest to help these people. So my investigation report next week are going to be on these three gangs and how the city of Nashville is addressing it, and how maybe, you know, I might be a little bit critical, not hypocritical, on how they can better address it. So that's in store for me next week, and it'll probably take at least a segment to run that through. That's something that, you know, I ran into when I was a cop. And, you know, you got to do something about it. You can't just take one because two more show up. So that's going to be one thing. And also the cannabis hemp issues here in the great state of the Volunteers. The cannabis containers are out on the counter. And I didn't realize that. You know, I thought they'd be behind the counter, behind the glass, or up near where the cigarettes are, where you can't reach them from the counter, you know, unless you jump over the counter with a gun, like they do so many times. But kids are running in the stores and grabbing as much as they can and running the heck out. You know, like these mob, what do you call them, flash mobs? Stealing all the cannabis off the counter. All right, well, you know, now regulations are going to be put in place, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. All that crap should have been put in place before the hemp started appearing on the countertops right next to the cash register. So, you know, go back and buy your Pepsi and then walk over to the to pay for it. And, oh, by the way, here's your can of cannabis. Go ahead and buy one, or hemp, whatever they want to call it. Anyway, I'm going to do something on that in the next couple of weeks on the regulation of that. So I hope you tune in for all that stuff next week and the week after, probably.
Outstanding. Well, can't wait to hear it.
We had a barn burner today, didn't we? Yep. I believe that we covered a lot of this shutdown and, you know, the money it's costing. And my favorite segment, of course, was the Big Mac attack at the White House. I think it was great. I'm sorry I missed it. You know, Mr. Trump, now for the next 6 years that he's in office, every time that, you know, a professional team, if they don't deny to go to the White House, you know, like LeBron James and his gang, you know, I think every time a sports team, no matter what level, should get the Big Mac attack dinner when they come to visit and meet the commander in chief. I think it could be a tradition. Let's start, you know, with the Super Bowl champions, whoever's going to be Super Bowl champions this year. When they get invited to the White House, they can expect fast food.
All right, Walt, that's all the time we have this week. Please tune into our show next week, please check our website, 75radio.org. That's 75radio, all one character, .org. Also, follow us on Twitter at Scoop Stanton, at Walter Yerkew, at 75radio, S-E-V-E-N-F-I-V-E, radio, and then the number one. All right, take away, Mr. Edwards. Have a good week, everybody. Stay safe.
This is James Edwards for 75 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.